You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 14th of August 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, it's Friday. Once again, we've reached the end of the week, and you know what that means? It means we have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, good afternoon, sir. How you doing? Is it hot enough for you yet over there in Texas?
It is the temperature of the sun here. It is unbelievably hot. We're having heat indexes of like 111, 115. I'll leave it to those of you over across the water to convert that into the faggy metric system. But I'm doing great, because I'm looking at today's story we're going to talk about, and it's all about outside of the box thinking. And there's one thing I'm about, it's thinking outside of the box. So I think we've got some good stuff to cover today.
I think we do indeed. Things are certainly hotting up over there in America, in New York City. People are fleeing New York City like rats leaving a sinking ship. And in Chicago, we have had some unbelievable riots and looting last weekend. My jaw just dropped to the floor when I saw the pictures of this. I mean, Chicago City, I never even knew they had drawbridges, but they literally lifted up all the drawbridges so that nobody could get in there because the rioting and the looting was so awful. On Sunday night, they hit all these expensive stores. They hit the Tesla store. They hit the Apple store. They hit the McDonald's. I mean, when you look at the map, it's got a list of all these stores that they hit, and then it's got McDonald's there that they also trashed. And the really incredible thing about it was the quotes that we have afterwards from Black Lives Matter that are actually justifying this. Black Lives Matter Chicago said early Monday's looting of stores was a form of reparations, as the group held a protest Monday night in support of the more than 100 people arrested after an evening of violence. That was all that was arrested, 100 people. Downtown Chicago was otherwise quiet after authorities cut off access with drawbridges leading into the city pulled up and freeway exits blocked after riots sparked by a false rumor of a child shot by police. At least 13 police officers were injured as the violence claimed an estimated $65 million in property damage. Ariel Atkins, a Black Lives Matter organizer, called the looting reparations. I don't care if someone decides to loot a Gucci or a Macy's or a Nike store, because that makes sure that person eats, Atkins said. That makes sure that person has clothes. Anything they wanted to take, they can take it, because these businesses have insurance. There we go. A happy ending to the story, of course. These businesses have insurance, so it doesn't matter that they've been looted and robbed. And the idea of these protesters actually going out and getting a job, that's just not possible, I guess. They just have to loot and steal, because otherwise they won't have clothes. They won't be able to eat. Grandpa, what do you make of this? These poor blacks that just have to go out and loot and rob in order to eat every day.
Going to eat those Nikes, I guess. But no, another thing about this whole thing is the looting was intended. It wasn't like, oh, well, this started as a peaceful protest, as they tell us in the narrative, and then some ne'er-do-wells started looting. It was organized as we're going downtown to loot, and it was organized like on Facebook and these mainstream social media platforms. It was organized by people. We're going to go in with our cars. They were smashing through windows with their cars to go in and loot these businesses, and this was organized on these social media platforms, and you have to wonder, gee, I wonder if like, you know, I don't know, maybe federal authorities might want to track down the people that are obviously inciting violence and criminal activity on social media. I wonder if there's any interest in that. Of course, we know the answer to it because we live in a post-legal society. But this line about this being reparations, you see, this is the sort of truly outside of the box thinking that I appreciate. This sort of outside of the box, because people read that and they get all wrestled over it and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, how dare they say this is reparations, this is just criminal activity. But no, I think he's hit on something here, and I think we need to seriously consider it, because if we're going to say that black crime counts as credits towards reparations, and we figure up, okay, there's this many, the original promise was 40 acres and a mule, so if you figured that up into today's dollars and then go back from the ending of slavery to now and figure up the total dollar amount of all black crime in the country, I'm thinking we might have some change coming back. I'm thinking actually there might be some money due back. Like, you know, your bill is $54.98 and you paid with 100. I'm thinking we got some money coming back here. This is some truly outside of the box thinking, Sven.
I think you might be right there. $65 million worth just for that riot. I mean, it makes you wonder how much Baltimore cost and St. Louis and all these other riots and looting sprees that we've seen over the years. I did see some of the footage of this. I mean, it's quite incredible seeing these cars just smashing into through the windows of these big stores, big expensive stores as well. This was the most upmarket, expensive part of Chicago that they were just going on the rampage through. Just incredible. And yes, they do seem to have stopped with the peaceful protest headlines, although they haven't really gone into the details that much in this report, although you can see the damage that's done in the pictures. And I mean, it's just breathtaking to see all these drawbridges up all around the city. I didn't think we had those anymore. I thought that, you know, we'd finished with those in the Middle Ages, maybe even before that in medieval times. But no, Chicago is surrounded by these drawbridges that were all lifted up, raised up into the air to prevent people from getting in there. Well, let's have a look at the actual reasons for this quote-unquote peaceful protest. The man whose actions sparked the unrest, 20-year-old Latrell Allen, who had previous arrests for child endangerment, domestic battery and burglary, was confronted by police on Sunday afternoon and fled, turning around and shooting multiple rounds at officers as he fled. He was shot and injured by police, returning fire, and rumour then spread that a child had been killed by officers. And that is exactly what happens every single time. The press shows you a picture of the person that has allegedly been murdered by the police, and it will always be a picture of them dressed up in school clothes, or it will be a picture of them playing around when they were about 10 or 11 years old. And then when you actually see the image of somebody like Michael Brown, who was about 6'6" and built like the proverbial outhouse, and you see that he was actually a gangster, a gangbanger. He was nothing like this picture of this child on his graduation day out of junior school. And it seems as if exactly the same thing has happened here, because these marchers that they pick, they are always absolutely the very worst kind of people. As we see here, he was done for child endangerment, domestic battery and burglary. And he is now their new marcher. He was the reason that all these blacks turned out to rob and smash things up. And this was one of those rare instances of a Black Lives Matter mob where they were all black. I didn't see any white faces in these pictures, apart from, of course, afterwards, where it was all white people that were cleaning up and dusting up and doing all the cleaning up after the rampaging from the night before. Grandpa, what do you make of the reasons for this peaceful protest here?
How many times have we read a story about actual, like, black children, 7, 8-year-olds, you know, being killed in their homes by a stray bullet, or out in their front yards by a stray bullet due to black gang violence? And yet, where are the riots? Where are the demands for action? It's just, once again, a reminder that this is much more than – these are largely, I think, excuses as far as why these things are happening. And, you know, because, again, if it was just about, oh, we heard that a black child, well, that you read actual stories about this little black kid was laying on his grandma's sofa taking a nap, and a stray bullet from blacks shooting at one another went through the wall and hit them in the head and killed them, there would be some outrage in the streets by that. But they're not. Why? Because it's not organized by somebody. And these things are being organized. It's organized out in the open. And where, again, where's somebody to track this stuff down? Because I'm pretty sure this is criminal activity. Last time I checked, this sort of thing would be considered criminal activity. It's obviously violent. It's obviously violent activity. You can't justify your violence by saying, oh, well, they have insurance anyway. If you went down and if you went around down the road and burned your neighbor's house down, but and said, well, it's OK, they have insurance. I mean, they wouldn't let you off the hook for that. You know, your ass going to jail for arson, which is a serious crime. And yet we're seeing these serious crimes taking place and nothing. Nothing is happening about it. Nothing is being done about it. Where's the investigation? Who's organizing it? I think that's some sort of incitement to, you know, to some sort of violence. I don't think it really takes a stretch of the imagination. And yet you have people on the distant right just doing funny troll posting on the internet, and they've received, you know, FBI visits because you could be interpreted as some sort of incitement to some. And yet we see literal organizing. Where are the people being banned? Is Facebook banning any of these people? No. No, these people aren't being banned. They're not being investigated. They're not being harassed. They're not being hassled. Why? Well, obviously, because the oligarchs want it to happen. And that's the only conclusion you can come to. And I just, you know, it becomes redundant pointing these things out over and over and over again. But it's important because people, it's so easy to get distracted by the excuse. It's so easy to get distracted by the excuse and sit here and, you know, rage about, you know, it's like being sick and you rage over the symptoms, but not looking at the disease. And we have to remember, again, that this is being organized. This is happening because somebody wants it to happen, because powerful people want this to be happening. They could shut it down tomorrow. They could shut it down tomorrow. They could stop this. You stop the funding. You go in. You swoop in on the organizers. They're clearly organizing violent criminal activity. That's against the law. I mean, there are RICO statutes for this sort of organized criminal activity, and nothing is happening. So why? Well, because obviously they're fine with it happening.
They should be going in Belarus style with a huge, great phalanx of police officers behind their riot shields. I mean, again, quite breathtaking pictures coming from Belarus, how they deal with these sort of problems. You brought up the insurance there that they claimed, oh, it was okay, we can just claim the insurance. Where do they think the insurance comes from? Who do they think pays for the insurance? And talking about children that actually get shot, there was a five-year-old white child that was shot and killed execution style by his black next door neighbor over the last couple of days. And the only news site that has covered it is Fox News. And I don't believe they actually mentioned the races of the people involved. This 5-year-old white child just innocently rode his tricycle or his little bicycle into his next door neighbor's yard. And the next door neighbor, who happens to be black, just shot him in the head in front of his two little sisters, a 6-year-old sister and a 7-year-old sister. And where are the protests? Where are the riots? I mean, you've genuinely got a child that's been murdered there in cold blood, and nothing at all. And yet here we have the whole city being set alight because a gangster was shot and killed by the police when they returned fire, and it's been put about that it was an innocent child that was killed by them. Well, social media was soon alight with rallying cries for protests and looting. In response to that incident, people on social media organised for a caravan of cars to descend on the city's downtown shopping district to loot. Police found out about the posts, and within 15 minutes, they were downtown. But the violence had already begun. It took just 15 minutes to get this started. Cars ploughed through storefronts to give the crowds easy access. Along the Magnificent Mile, people were seen going in and out of stores carrying shopping bags full of merchandise, as well as at a bank, the Chicago Tribune reported. And as the crowd grew, vehicles dropped off more people into the area. There was a large police presence on the Monday morning outside an Apple store located north of Chicago's downtown area. And blocks away, debris was strewn in parking lots in front of a Best Buy and a large liquor store. And as I pointed out earlier, Tesla were robbed as well, and Apple, I think Yves Saint Laurent, lots of these posh designer label stores, they were all broken into. And all of this was just done within 15 minutes. And it just shows you that where we have large amounts of these people in the cities, this could go off at any moment. At any moment, this could take place. And it is taking place far more often than it used to before. There's been an increase in the number of these riots and looting, and it ties in with the increase in numbers, as Jared Taylor points out. When you there seems to be a certain number of them, and when you reach that number, this sort of thing becomes possible. And it does, and it happens when you have enough of them gathered together in one particular area. You know there is going to be lots of crime. You have the Notting Hill Carnival that they have in London, where you have a large group of them together, and there's always stabbings, there's always drugs, there's always rapes, there's always attacks. You go to a white festival and you won't have any of that. No, you don't go to a white festival and expect to get stabbed. And of course, when you have large groups of them together and they're protesting, then the chances of that turning into a looting spree and a riot are vastly increased. Grandpa, what do you make of the details here of what went on?
Well, I mean, you brought up the story of the white child shot execution style. We don't even have to play the game. It's tiring at this point of playing the game of what if the races were reversed, the manufactured outrage that the media would produce. But you asked the question, where are the riots? Well, the answer is simple. White people don't riot. I think maybe they should start. I think maybe they need to start, like, you know, getting a clue. I don't know. I mean, I guess I better watch what I say. That could be interpreted as inciting something. Meanwhile, we're reading a story here about they're literally bussing people in to commit criminal acts. Nothing's going to be done about it. We're going to get into this here in a minute to where they're basically saying that nothing is being done about it. And that's why, you know, you're seeing more and more of this. But no, you hit on a real critical point there. And that is there's a certain critical mass of percentage of the population. And that's the way it works. You look at, you know, they talk here in America, they love to talk about the melting pot and assimilation. But it's always been a lie. There's no such thing as assimilation because people are people. You know, it's just that when you're vastly outnumbered, like say you have 5% of the population is this other race, well, that 5% is going to do their best to blend in. That's just a human instinct. You know, you recognize that you're among a different people, so you try not to stand out. That's a survival instinct. But when you get, say, 13%, which is, I think, what roughly the black population is here in the U.S. now, although if you looked at TV commercials, you would think they were 80%. But nonetheless, you get 13%, and then those people all congregate together, and they start feeling like there's a whole lot more of them than there are. And they don't feel a need to try to not stand out, to try to, you know, fit into the society at large. And you'll see this, you know, in Britain with all of these Muslims coming in from the Middle East, or, you know, Africans coming in. It just happens. That is the way human nature works. Assimilation has always been alive. If I went and lived in Japan by myself, I'd try to act as Japanese as possible. But if I lived in Japan and then, you know, 1,000 other Americans moved into my neighborhood and we made a little American colony there in Japan, I wouldn't walk around. Well, I probably would, because I'm kind of a weeb like that. But I mean, you wouldn't feel the need to walk around and act Japanese, because you're surrounded by Americans. You wouldn't bother learning Japanese because everybody around you talks English. And that is just how it works. And now we see that playing out here, and they can keep chanting diversity is our strength and all of that over and over again, like a magical mantra or something. It's going to make it real, but it doesn't change the reality that we're seeing. The cities are just becoming war zones. And we talk about societal collapse. I talk about it, you know, to infinity, it seems like. And people are still like, oh, it won't get that bad. And you're looking around like, how much worse does it have to get before you accept that this is the reality? It's like I've spoken with people, you know, you speak with people from South Africa and you're like, what are you doing still there? Get the hell out. And they'll tell you, oh, well, it's not bad, that bad where I'm at. You know, it's like, how bad? How many articles do you have to read? It's just to, you know, to accept the fact that the situation is that bad. The cities are going to become wars. They're becoming war zones in this country, and it will only get worse. There's nothing you can look at on the horizon that would make you say, oh, well, in 6 months, this will all be better. This is all going to calm down in 6 months. The Republicans and Normicons seem to be walking around telling themselves that this is a flash in the pan, that it's all going to go away. They'll get tired of rioting and looting. But why should they? This is being organized. It's being encouraged. It's being megaphoned by the media. There's no reason for it to die down. And there's no consequences from literal criminal behavior.
I think Chicago is about 40%, 45% black. We talked about it a while back, didn't we? We had a little look at Chicago and the demographics. But just where you were pointing out these riots there, and when they reach critical mass, then you get the possibility of these riots happening. Do you know how long this has been going on for? You can look back at the 1970s band, The Clash, and they had a track called White Riot. And the lyrics were, "White Riot, I want a riot, I want a riot of my own." And this is, you know, this is pointing to the fact that white people don't riot. And even back then, we were seeing blacks rioting over things. And the song was about saying, well, why don't we do that? Why don't we have a riot? I want a riot of my own. And white people just don't do this sort of thing. Again, this shows you the racial differences between us and between them. And of course, one of the real problems that we now have with this promotion of diversity, with this promotion of diversity quotas, we now have these other races in these important positions in the establishment. And that is one of the reasons why we're having these problems in Chicago now. And again, we've had these problems before in Detroit. I mean, it's very well known in Detroit, the problems that they have there and the way that that city has become destroyed. But the next one now is going to be Chicago. And we have a black mayor. I think she's a lesbian as well. We have a black prosecutor, and the black prosecutor there was famous for dropping the charges against Jussie Smollett with his fake hate crime that he was found guilty of by public jury last year. It was quite obvious that he was guilty of it, and yet the state prosecutor decided that she was just going to drop the charges against him. And she's also dropped the charges against all the looters and rioters from the previous peaceful protests that went on. So on Monday, there was a press conference that was given. Mayor Lori Lightfoot warned looters who ransacked the city that they are being sought by police, and she angrily hit back at questions over whether a failure to prosecute those involved in the looting after George Floyd's death had created a sense of impunity. Cook County State Attorney Kim Fox dropped the charges against several hundred protesters arrested for looting and other offences during the George Floyd protests. Now, we've heard about how Barr, the main guy, the main attorney, the country's attorney, the United States attorney, Barr, he's refused to press charges against these looters and rioters. But what we actually have here, we have the state attorney, this Kim Fox. She refused to charge the previous rioters and looters. So, of course, when that happens, they think, well, great, we can get away with this. We can do this every time. Every time the police end up having to shoot somebody that they're trying to arrest because they've resisted arrest, we can just go out and riot and loot, and nobody's going to arrest us. And that is why this is happening. Grandpa, what do you make of the start of this press conference here and what they're telling us? Because it's amazing that they're actually telling us this, because they wouldn't, you know, this is what we've been saying for months, well, for ever since the start of this, that, you know, that they're just not pressing charges against the looters and the rioters, and this is what's going to happen. And now it has happened. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Oh, I mean, their assumption is right. I mean, that nothing's going to happen to them. In fact, they'll be hailed no matter what they do, no matter what kind of criminal activity, no matter how violent it gets. The media will call them peaceful protesters. We all know if members of the dissident right held a literally legal, peaceful protest and just stood out there with signs, they would be called evil white supremacists, neon Nazis that, you know, that they would demand President Trump disavow them for having their peaceful protest. And if violence broke out against them, they would be blamed for all of the violence. And we've literally seen this happen. The media hails them as heroes and peaceful protesters no matter what they do. I mean, this is literally correct, and we'll get into it here in a minute. But David Brown, who is the superintendent, they're basically the chief of police there. He was the chief of police over in Dallas before this gig. And, you know, of course, he's black. Everybody in these stories is black. And David Brown's pretty good, you know, as far as his job. He was pretty good over there, as far as I understand. And we'll get into this here in a minute. But he basically, you know, because they're trying to hit him up with, well, why aren't y'all doing something? He's like, we're doing something, but they won't prosecute him. You know, he just basically called that out. And I don't blame him, because they're all looking at him like he's not doing his job. And he's like, well, we arrest these people and they refuse to press charges, so they're back out of jail. This is literally a case of nothing happens to them. We know that William Barr is not doing anything on the federal level. We know nothing is being done on the state level. And again, if this were people of the dissident right, we saw how Charlottesville was prosecuted. People defending themselves are doing prison time. And yet we have an organized action of criminal activity, violence, destruction of property, and they refuse to prosecute anybody. And the media continues to call these peaceful protests. They continue to bend over backwards to narrate this as peaceful protests. You have Black Lives Matter receiving millions of dollars from corporations. And why would they stop? I mean, they're not being prosecuted for criminal activity. They're being hailed as heroes by the media, and they're getting rich. The organization is getting rich and well-funded by corporate America. I don't see a downside. I don't see a logical reason why they would stop what they're doing. In fact, it would be more insane if they did stop what they were doing. This is not hard to figure out, and yet we're all supposed to be walking around in some sort of haze, in some sort of cloud of confusion, and not understand why this is happening. Why wouldn't it be happening? Why would it not be happening when you look at, you know, the positive reinforcement, the fact that no negative consequences are happening, no prosecution, no criminal prosecutions, no nothing. The police are trying, you know, David Brown, he winds up pointing out here, we're doing our job. We're arresting these people, but yet they just turn them back loose. And so nothing is happening. Once again, it tells us that this is happening because the powerful people that pull the strings in this country want it to be happening. This is what societal breakdown looks like, and it's an intentional societal breakdown.
Well, this David Brown that you're just referring to there, who is now the Chicago police superintendent, said at the Monday press conference that looters could have been behaving as if there are no consequences because of what happened previously. A reporter addressing the police chief said, "It almost sounds as though you were saying the reason we have this is the courts and the prosecutors were not doing their job, that they were going too easy on the looters from the last time around. Is that my understanding?" Brown replied, "Don't take it from me. Just go about what's been done. I don't want to do your job for you, but go about what's been done. There were no consequences for the people arrested." At this point, Mayor Lightfoot stood up and addressed the reporter. "Let's be clear," she said. "Don't bait us, okay? Do not bait us. Do not bait us." She angrily denied that Fox's decision or any other ruling by the Chicago authorities contributed towards the unrest. "Don't try to bait us, mischaracterize us, or pit one against the other," she said. "We're not playing that. We're in a serious situation here and we need a serious response. That's what we're saying. Period. This had nothing to do with legitimate, protected First Amendment speech. Regardless, what occurred in our downtown was abject criminal behavior, pure and simple. There cannot be any excuse for it. Period. This was straight up felony conduct," she said. "It was one of a handful of incidents of unrest across America that coincided with the 6th anniversary of Michael Brown's death." So this is just the one that we're hearing about, but there were lots of others that took place just because of something that happened 6 years ago. And this rioting that is going on here, I mean, I would suggest that it's really America is reaping what it has sown. If you're going to push the idea that we should have diversity quotas, then you're going to have black mayors, you're going to have black prosecutors like this, and they're going to decide, well, we're just not going to prosecute these guys that are protesting because we support what they're doing. We think there should be reparations. And all you have to do is look at what the cities are like in Africa to see where America is heading. And the reporter is quite right here that this is down to the prosecutor not doing their job. But even now, the mayor is refusing to accept that and saying, no, this is nothing to do with that. This is just them being criminals. That seems to be what she's saying. This is nothing to do with the fact that they haven't been prosecuted for this. It's just them going out on a robbing spree. I mean, it's incredible that she still won't accept what is actually going on here. And this police chief Brown, I mean, he does seem pretty good. At least he is speaking truth to power here. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on this?
No. I mean, the black chief of police, David Brown, is calling it like this. And the dumb reporters, these journalists, they just make me sick. I mean, their response is, "It almost sounds as if you're saying," no, he literally said it. How do you not get that? And I like his response. You know, look, do your damn job. I mean, this isn't hard to figure out. He's calling it out because he knows that they're going to try. He sees where this is going. they're going to at some point have to throw somebody under the bus, and the chief of police, the one they're going to, well, you did an inept job at stopping the violence. And he's curbing that off. He's like, no, y'all aren't going to throw me under the bus. And then you have this horrible, horrible, incompetent mayor jumping up and accusing the press person of trying to pit them one against the other. Instead of just acknowledging, yeah, that's right, the prosecutors are refusing, the courts are refusing to punish these people. Again, this isn't like some sort of secret mystery here. And yet they're acting as though we're not supposed to get it. And how dare you try to pit us one against the other? And then she gets off into, you know, legitimate First Amendment speech, as though there's some form of peaceful protest going on here, when the whole thing originated with an organized call to pick people up and take them downtown for the sole purpose of looting. I don't see any First Amendment happening. Was there any permits there? Because, you know, you can't have any sort of protest without a permit. Oh, we threw that out the window. Oh, well, what about this violent criminal activity, people being assaulted, shops being looted? What about that? Well, you know, that's just a few ne'er-do-wells that are making the protesters look bad. And my favorite is it's white supremacists sneaking in and actually doing the violence to make them look bad. There is no end that the media and these people will not go to try to legitimize, to try to just basically cover up the fact that what's actually happening here isn't any kind of First Amendment speech, isn't any kind of actual protest. It's just criminal behavior, plain and simple.
Well, I'm glad you cleared up what the police chief was actually saying there. I do find it a little bit difficult to understand what blacks are actually saying when they quote them, because they do quote them verbatim, and it's a little bit hard for me to understand sometimes. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.